Hey, what's up? Welcome to Game Over Screen Season 2, Episode 5. I'm your host, Tyler Rims, and I am the only person here due to scheduling conversations. No, due to scheduling conflicts and some other stuff like the snow knocking out my power, my internet. It's just me, and I'm recording this, and I'm not streaming it. So, I mean, that's cool. I mean, it might also be the format going forward. It's under heavy consideration, because scheduling five other adults is hard. But, I mean, we'll see. It's nothing set in stone. But what's up? Welcome to Game Over Screen. Pretty packed show, at least. Talk about some of the news that happened over the last couple weeks. Talk about what I've been playing. And then we'll add one game to the top 100 must playlist. So let's get started. What have I been playing this week? So I've been playing that new Shin Megami Tensei 5. Now I'm not too far in it. I just beat Nua, I think is her name, the snake lady, the sexy snake lady with her demon hunter boyfriend. That's a cool fight, but that's not super far in. And I've already made my third tweets about it, but I'm liking it so far. Of course, I paid extra for the digital deluxe version, so I have all the Mitama running around, so I can like farm some glory and some items and stuff. So I'm having an easier time than normal. But other than that, it is like hard sometimes. You know, it's fucking tough. Sometimes if you're not paying attention, an enemy will fucking one-shot you. He'll just kill your party, and that's, you don't give a fuck about that. It's also weird that resurrecting a demon that died in your party does not bring them back in, which is a choice, so I have to waste another turn bringing them back. But, it's okay. Last thing I majorly did before being new of was I got a map for all of the, what do they call them? Mimon? I don't know what they're called. The little guys you collect. Got a map that revealed all of them in that first area. Went out and scouted all of them. Had to fight one of the, like, dire foes or whatever they're called, the big dick demons, because he was in my way. He's also a flying enemy. But I beat him. Felt like I wasn't going to, but I beat him. Got the Mimon. Got the extra glory. Turn them in, get those prizes. Pretty fun time. I'm liking the game so far. It is a little chunky, of course, because it's on the Switch. But we know that it's going to come to other places eventually. Because you can already see its ties to SMT3. It has, like, the urn thing. Actually, I'm not that familiar with other SMT games. I don't know if that shows up anywhere else. I mean, Demi Fiend is, like, a DLC boss or whatever. It's pretty cool. Definitely gonna put some more time into it after I beat the other game I've been playing, which is Pokemon Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, and specifically Brilliant Diamond. I've been playing just because it has more of the Pokemon that I like that are exclusive to it. Namely, I don't have an image here that tells me the exclusive Pokemon. Namely, Pokemon like Scyther, like Electabuzz, Metapod, Arcanine, Mawile, Zangoose, Tyranitar. Those are Pokemon that they're exclusive to Brilliant Diamond that I feel are worth it. Of course, on the other side, you have Pokemon like fucking, like Ninetales is cool, Sandslash is cool, Sviper, the dragon, I forgot what it's called. Not Garchomp, but the other one. The blue and red one. Sableye. You know, they're all cool Pokemon. But Ursaring. Teddy Ursa. I love me a good bear Pokemon. But Brilliant Diamond's where I gotta go. And I've been having fun with that. I just beat the third gym. I'm still in that town. And let me tell you, game's not hard. Except for right here's the third gym where the gym leader absolutely beat my ass, dude. Like fucking fucking destroyed me. And it wasn't until she brought out her Lucario that she started one-shotting my team with Drain Punch. What a move. Holy shit. Especially because she's a fighting type gym leader that brings out Lucario that's weak to fighting types. That's a mix-up in my brain that doesn't work. But other than that, it's like, it's Pokemon, right? It gives me my Pokemon fix. It's not too complicated. Good quality of life. I'm addicted to the underground. I love fucking digging out walls and shit and looking around. I caught a Scyther. And that bitch, everyone knows that Scyther is my favorite Pokemon for the most part. He's one of my favorites. It's like, because my PSN name is Scyther the Best, right? Pretty easy, pretty simple. And I fucking threw like 40, 50 Pokeballs at him before he decided to stay the fuck in the ball. And that was cool. Same with Absol. I caught an Absol. And he was a bitch to fight as well. Because it's like, you're like one health, dog. I'm throwing Pokeballs at you. Any Pokeball, really. Heal balls, dust balls. Fucking, I'll toss a net ball. Maybe it'll work. And it's just like, nope, I'm not staying in. I'll shake once or twice, maybe three times and come out, but I'm not staying in. And it's like, well, I don't know what to do other than let you kill my team and keep throwing the balls because I can't hit you again or you'll die and I'll have to start over. Other than that, it's a fun game. I picked the girl, Hikari, Dawn, whatever you want to call her. And I thought of something. I picked Chimchar as my starter, right? And everyone knows in Diamond and Pearl anime, Chimchar is notable for being under the control of one Paul, aka Shinji. So I named my Chimchar Shinji. But I wonder if he actually exists in the games, or is he just an anime character? Because as much of an asshole as Shinji is as a rival character, he's like really cool, right? Really cool is a strong word. I like him as a character because he's an asshole. Like way more than Gary ever was. So I'm hoping he shows up in the games and he's hopefully kind of an asshole. But if not, no big deal. I'm just getting off my back. But it is making me want to play Sword and Shield again. Not start over or anything, just probably run around and maybe finish hunting those Diglets in the DLC. Sorry, taking a drink of my coffee. But yeah, Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, fine games, fine Pokemon games. People are saying they're uninspired, they're boring. Feels like we played this before. It's because you did. Those games came out forever ago. And they're being remade. It's what you wanted, right? You wanted Game Freak to hand off Pokemon to another company. And you wanted the Sinnoh remakes. Guess what? Here they are. That's what you get. Faithful remakes, kind of. People are like, why would they give a fucking Pokemon to this unproven studio? It's like, well, never gonna be able to prove anything if you don't ever try. I mean, Ilka knows about RPGs. They ran support on a bunch of RPGs, including like Dragon Quest and other games. So I mean, they're fine games, right? They're fine. Nothing spectacular. If I wanted a thinking Monster Hunter, not Monster Hunter. If I wanted a thinking man's monster collector RPG, I'd pick up, like, World of Final Fantasy. I'll pick up Digimon Cyber Sleuth. I'd pick up SMT5, you know? That's just how it is. Pokemon's for babies. It's a baby game. I don't know what you want. Other games I played this week, since the last time we spoke. Deathloop. I streamed Deathloop, a little bit of it, when it came out. I decided, hey, it's Black Friday sales, let me pick it up on my PS5 that I got and try it out again, playing with a controller as opposed to mouse and keyboard, because I'm just more used to a controller. just how I've been raised, how I play games most of the time. And it is surprisingly really fun. I'm not that much farther than I was on PC, right? I think on PC I stopped after the Juliana thing, after she first shows up. But now I've actually unlocked the residuum stuff, and they've opened the game up and say, hey, go kill whoever you want in your order now. Go do it. And you know I gotta go for Nexus first. Let me link those enemies together, baby. But so far it's fun. The only things I don't like about it are that when you get the residuum, they force you to put it into your starting gun, which I think is stupid because it's a gun that's always going to be there at the start. So why make me keep it? You know, I had a cool pistol that was there that I would have liked to infuse, but that's okay. It's all right. I can't wait to get all these powers and just do the damn thing, dude. Also, I had one game-breaking glitch. Glitch, what the fuck? Game-breaking glitch. It's 8 in the morning as I'm recording this. I've been up all night. Game-breaking glitch. I've had one of those where when they're tutorializing you about your loadout, and I'd seen it before, so I'm mashing through it. And then all of a sudden the screen changes to like the menu's still there, the tutorial's still up, but the background isn't coal on the workbench. It's like an outside shot of like the library where Juliana, you know, picks you up through the window and then you fall or whatever. And but it's like it, you know, you see the outside, you see the level, but you're from like an out of bounds area, and so it's kind of weird. And I couldn't move, so I just had to hard close the game. Other than that, though, it's running fine. The last one, majorly that I've been playing is one Persona 4 Golden. I'm back in, baby. Trying to beat this game on stream, and guess what? It's been rough, because for some reason now, the game crashes, like, all the time. Like, randomly. I don't think there's anything that's specifically causing it. I've tried a bunch of different things, and the game just crashed. And the last time it happened, it crashed mid-Shadow Kanji boss fight. And it's the most terrible feeling I've ever had. But I know it's a good game. I played it 100 times before. So I'm going to try to figure it out, finish streaming it. And then I'll move on to my hate playthrough of Persona 3. Zero suggested playing Persona 3 Fest, and then going back and playing Persona 3 Portable as the girl to see her route. And depending on how much I hate playing Persona 3 again, that might happen, but we don't know. And then lastly, I played some more of that sweet, sweet, sweet Final Fantasy 15. I played through a couple chapters of that. I want to say 4, 5, and 6. Let me just... No, just 4 and 5. So chapter 4 is basically you go to the Kothos disc with Arden. And you are... you meet Titan and you go through that whole thing. And that's cool. That's a cool boss fight when you're like... blocking his punches with your sword. Like, that shit's nuts. It's a huge spectacle. For the most part, it's just you and Gladio because you get separated. But it's a good time. It's a cool time. And then we move on to Chapter 5, Dark Clouds, which is where we get our boy. What they call him? He's Rama. Or Ramu, I don't know how you say it. I always just say Rama. And that's an interesting chapter because your car has been stolen, right? So you have to kind of walk around. It's storming, so chocobos aren't available to grab, and you have to like walk a pretty long way. So you're walking to these points where you touch these trees that have been hit with lightning, and you're kind of getting these blessings from Rama. And this chapter also establishes Gentiana, which is like this mystical aid that's been helping your cool since forever. I think it's good that they establish her this early on, I guess. I mean, technically, Chapter 5, we're about a third of the way through the game. But it's cool. I really like Gentiana, and we know, if you've beaten the game before, spoilers, that she is, like, the spirit of Shiva. And that's pretty cool, especially when you get to see Shiva's, like, quote-unquote corpse later on. It's a good time. It's a good time. But I've been having fun with that. Character swapping's great. Gaining EP. I haven't started fishing yet. That's going to be something. And that's pretty cool. I'm still having extreme amount of fun in that game. To the point where I'm like, I'm going to want to watch some of the anime on stream probably. I'm going to want to... I was like, oh man, maybe I'll get this idea to play... Maybe I'll stream... I'll buy Pocket Edition and stream that. And it's like, what the fuck are you thinking? But, I mean, it might happen. I might do it. And then this all leads into the book club kind of podcasting I'll do with Gavin about the Final Fantasy 15 book. So, that's all good. That's all great. Can't wait to play more of that. All right. That is it for the games we played. Let's hop into the news. So, first off, over the last couple days, they've announced a video game. I mean, fuck it, I lost my notes. Hold on. Here we go. Dragon Ball The Breakers. Now, I've watched this trailer a couple times, and I think it's a cool concept, right? This is a game where you play as civilians, including Bulma and Oolong, and you are running away from, you know, the three main villains, right? Boo, Frieza, Cell, and they grow and evolve over the course of a match. It's an asymmetric multiplayer game. People are calling it Dead by Dragon Ball, Dead by Daylight kind of thing, but it looks way more like Evolve, you know, because they show Cell crawling out of the time machine. They show him as like a little larva, and then he gets bigger, and then he grows into, you know, Imperfect Cell, and then Perfect Cell, and then all that stuff. So, it's more like Evolve. This is a game developed by Demps, which people are upset about because they want Xenoverse 3, which they're still making stuff for Xenoverse 2. Like, what the fuck? What do you even do with Xenoverse 3, right? It's like, oh, they're messing with time. You gotta play through the entirety of the Dragon Ball again. Like, again. We already did it before and Xenoverse 1 and 2, let's do it again, boys! No. Just wait. Let them make Xenoverse 3 when something interesting will change up the formula, right? But it's going to have large maps with destructible areas. Cell, Boo, and Frieza will be the first raiders. That's what they're calling the villains. Customization options, including skins, perks, whatever. And unique powers and items, grappling hooks, vehicles, and weapons. So, really interested to see what this is about, right? What's gonna go on here? Maybe if a demo comes out or something, right? Like, it actually doesn't look too different from Xenoverse. So, interesting. It's just an interesting concept for a game, especially a Dragon Ball game. Next up on the list is they delayed Pragmata. Capcom's Pragmata been delayed to 2023. They announced this with a weird video of a little girl holding up a sign. It's like, sorry, it's 2023, with a 2022 crossed out. And my thoughts on that are that, Trug? Like, we don't know who's making Pragmata outside of Capcom. We don't know if this is in-house, you know, if they're just publishing it. Well, we don't know. We know that there's this little girl, she's got this weird cat, and there's like an astronaut man, and the moon is fake. But we don't know anything else about Pragmata, so delaying it a year to 2023, a year I don't even want to think about, really. A year that I'm not even, like, trying to be aware of. It's like, what the fuck? Okay. Sure. Delay it. We don't know anything about it. Not like they're in, not like any of us had a problem with it, because we don't know what the fuck's going on there. Right? But cool. Pragmata delayed. Next up, Spider-Man is coming to Marvel's Avengers. Now, this was announced a while ago. We're about 4 days away from where I'm recording this. It comes out on November 30th. He will have a series of story missions, but not like a full campaign or expansion like Clint or Kate or T'Challa, but just a series of missions. Probably in the Eastern Seaboard areas, because, you know, those are city-like. But they show off gameplay, they show off his suits. He's looking pretty clean. Now, of course, gameplay is subjective, right? Like, you know, a lot of people saying... Well, first off, we're talking about Marvel's Avengers, right? People already don't like that game. Like, I like it. I think it's fine, except the last time I played it, I was playing the Black Panther War for Wakanda stuff, and... there's these enemies in that expansion that are like, why the fuck would you design these? These little drones that come up and they're like sonic disruptors or something, and they blind you and your screen gets all blurry and it's hard to see until you break them, and it's like, that was a terrible choice. You should take those out. But I mean, he looks fine. His combos look all right. He, you know, real flippy, he focuses on like aerial stuff too, so that's pretty cool. He's not Spider-Man Insomniac. He's not Spidey PS4 levels of like fluidity, which how can you be, right? But I think it's all right. I mean, you go back and I play games like Shattered Dimensions or Web of Shadows or Ultimate, you know, stuff where Spider-Man is not, he doesn't control that well. And I don't think we should be like, well, they're not as good as Spider-Man PS4 or Miles Morales, and they just shouldn't make it. And it's like, well, no. And of course, he doesn't have any real story outside of these missions, because then you're really like putting Xbox players out to boot, right? They don't want any like major story stuff to happen on just one platform, right? That seems pretty bad. Either way, though, the only thing people are really memeing on his web shooting ability, like his animations, which are fair. It looks kind of stupid, but honestly, it's gonna look stupid. And he has to have moves that like fit the third person shooter aspect of every character that lets you do some kind of projectile move. But I'm still excited to play it. I think his skins look cool. His noir skin has the coat, which isn't in Spidey PS4. He's got this Daily Bugle skin where he's like wearing like a sweater vest and a t-shirt. And like, that's a cool skin. Other skins include like, he has like a Secret Wars. He has Mark 1 and 2 spider armor. That's all cool shit. And I'm excited for that. Last thing we'll talk about before the big news of the past few weeks is Warner Brothers Multiverses. Now, last time we had an episode, we talked about the leaks. Well, since then, it's been announced officially. And gotta say, I am so fucking excited for this game. Like, no joke, I'm excited. It looks good. Like, it looks great. I love the art style. I love the character choices. I love the potential of the future characters. I love everything they're doing. So this game is, of course, a Smash clone kind of thing, but with a big focus on 2v2. So you've got like skill. Each character has a skill that will help them like fight with their teammate. So like Steven Universe, he's in the game. He has a shield. He can shield his opponent in front of him, and he can project a shield around them, kind of like a Smash shield around them, whenever he does his. Bugs Bunny can dig a hole that you can go through for some traversal. I'm sure that'll come in handy at some point. Mm. Batman can throw down a smoke bomb. It's all like cool stuff. Wonder Woman can lasso you back to stage, which I think is neat. Because you don't get that kind of stuff in Smash 2v2s, right? Because if you want, like, oh, this will help my teammate get back on, you turn on friendly fire, and that's a clusterfuck by itself, so that you can hit your teammate back onto the stage. But this is looking pretty cool. The roster so far is Batman, Bugs Bunny, Finn the Human, Garnet from Steven Universe, Harley Quinn, Jake the Dog, Shaggy, who has his Ultra Instinct stuff, right? He has his Ultra Instinct kind of stuff. I'm sure this game was spawned just because of that meme. Steven Universe, Superman, Tom and Jerry as a singular character, Wonder Woman, Arya Stark from Game of Thrones, and then Rain Dog, who is an original character made for this game. Now this, first, Arya Stark is the wild card here. But I think she looks like a Marth kind of character, right? And then Rain Dog is new. But we know that this roster is different from the leaked roster, which included one Rick Sanchez from Rick and Morty. I don't know how I forget the name of that. And one Gandalf from The Hobbit's Last Lord of the Rings. So it'll be interesting to see if they reveal those characters soon. Yeah, during their little video presentation that they had to reveal this, they also had a stage blurred out, so I can't wait to see what that was. It looked kind of greenish, so it might be a Rick and Morty stage. But some other interesting notes about this game. Voice acting, right from the jump, right? Saying that in that video felt like a dig at Nick All-Star Battle, but I'm okay with it because that game's bad. So you got all the voices you want, right? Maisie as Arya, Kevin Conroy as Batman, the new Bugs Bunny guy as Bugs Bunny and Tom and Jerry, Jeremy Shada as Finn the Human, that one singer is Garnet, fucking Tara Strong as Harley, John DiMaggio was Jake, Matthew Lillard from the movies as Shaggy, Steven Universe's voice actor, I forget Superman's, and then Abby Trotter's Wonder Woman. So, those are all really good. The game is free to play, which means you won't be spending $50 on a bare bones ass video game. You'll at least try it. It's cross platform, play with anyone. Cross progression, play anywhere. It has skins. There's probably going to be some microtransactions, but you know, if the game's good enough, I'll pay for them, whatever. Like, that's just how most free-to-play games work, that if I like your game, I will spend money in it. And yeah, this game looks really interesting. The art style looks real great, kind of coherent. I'm excited to see who else is added over the course of this game's life cycle. Because first off, they have roles, right? So, like, Arya, Finn, Harley are all under the Assassin class. Batman, Garnet, Jake, Superman, and Shaggy are all under the Bruiser class. Bugs Bunny and Tom and Jerry are both mages, right? That's strange. Rain Dog and Steven are support characters, and Wonder Woman's a tank. I don't know exactly how this will factor into 2v2s or like what team comp's going to be like, but interesting. It's just interesting to note. Also, this game will also have 1v1s and free-for-all, 4v1, you know, four-player free-for-all. It has dedicated servers and rollback netcode. Two things that people need to know about for a good online experience. It's coming out on PC, PlayStation, Xbox, not the Switch. People are really weird. They're like, why not the Switch? And I just go, hey, if I'm playing a game on my Switch that's like Smash, why not just play Smash? Smash is right there. Smash is there. They got Smash. Might have something to do with crossplay or the online. Who knows? Doesn't really bother me. But I'm excited to play it. They're going to have playtests coming soon. And I'm trying to get in that. I signed up with like 3 different emails. I am really excited to play it. I can't wait. I feel like I'm going to be the Finn the Human main, but Arya looks like a Marth kind of character, and I'm excited for that. Batman also looks pretty cool. Shaggy, I want to know what Shaggy can do, dude. All these characters look pretty good, right? Let's see. Skins, they have like perk trees, progressions, daily challenges. So I'm so interested to figure out like what's going on here. Not developed by NetherRealm Studios, developed by Player First Games. I'm just going through the FAQ here. It'll be on Steam. Let's see. Yeah, Garnet's voiced by Estelle. Okay. I'm interested to see who they add, because Warner Brothers has a lot. They own a lot of shit, right? Like they own some show. They own a bunch of shows on like Cartoon Network, like the greater DC Universe is Warner Brothers. They own some shows on Adult Swim. You can get Aqua Teen Hunger Force in this bitch. You can get like Harvey Birdman. You can get Samurai Jack. What the fuck? But I also, like, people are like, Animaniacs. The fucking Freakazoid. Like, I don't want them to stick to traditional cartoon characters. I want to get wild, bro. They own JoJo's Bizarre Adventure somehow. They have that in their pocket. They have Friends. The TV show Friends. Put Ross in this game. They have Willy Wonka. They have fucking Austin Powers. Like this game could be wild. This game could be absolutely wild, dog, and I'm here for it. I'll play it. I want to know. The trailer looks a bit slow, like the gameplay, but we'll see how that goes over time. It's not coming out till 2022, so I mean, they got time to fix all anything that they have a problem with. But that's about it for multiverses. Last thing on the list, and we'll probably take up the most time here, is the the Game Awards, right? 2021 coming real soon. They put up their website with the nominees for every category, and we're gonna go through every single category, and I'll tell you who at least I voted for, and talk about the games nominated here. But once we get to the esports shit, like that's it. I don't give a fuck about esports. Especially because I like Overwatch, so anything if Overwatch isn't there, I'm not voting for any of it, right? Say what you will. Anyways, let's dig into the Game Awards nominees here. So, first category, Game of the Year. This is the big one, right? Game of the Year nominees include Deathloop, It Takes Two, Metroid Dread, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, and RE Village, right? Those are our Game of the Year nominees. Now, I've barely played any of these games, but I picked Deathloop because I think it's a cool game, it's a cool concept, and I think it shines pretty good, right? For at least for when I'm played. But these are the games. These are the games that you're probably gonna see in a lot of other categories because, you know, it is what it is. Next up, we have Best Game Direction: Deathloop, It Takes Two, Returnal, Psychonauts 2, and Ratchet and Clank. Now, I voted Deathloop because it's the one game I've played on this list. But if I had to guess, if I had to predict what would actually win, it'd probably be Psychonauts 2, right? I think that game has amazing direction. Game of the Year prediction, I think it's anywhere between Deathloop, Metroid Dread, and probably Ratchet and Clank. But for best game direction, I definitely think Psychonauts 2 would take it. Best narrative, Deathloop, It Takes Two, Life is Strange, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, and Psychonauts 2. I voted for Guardians of the Galaxy, I believe. I think it could win. But I'm also not confident that it could, right? I've only played a little bit of it, which I didn't talk about. I think that game's good so far. Shooting's kind of weird, especially because it's the first time that I felt adaptive triggers in a game. And I thought something was wrong with my controller, but no, that's just the game. But I also think Life is Strange could win. So, who knows? We'll see when we get there. I don't even know when this thing is. Best Art Direction, Artful Escape, Deathloop, Kena, Psychonauts, Ratchet and Clank. I voted for Kena, because Kena looks amazing. It looks so fucking good, right? Especially the cutscenes, like, all of it looks great. But I wouldn't mind it going to Deathloop, of course, or Psychonauts. Artful Escape might have a chance. Like, all these games have good art direction. So, it's really a toss-up, but my bet's on Kena, right? I'm glad Kena's here. Best Score in Music. Artful Escape, Cyberpunk, Deathloop, Guardians, and Nier. Now, putting a remake in this is a weird kind of thing, because it's like, you know, songs came out forever ago, you may rearrange them, but they're the same songs. Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy is also in that place where it's like, a lot of that game soundtrack is like, it's music. It's music that exists already. It's fucking licensed music, right? Like, fucking Never Gonna Give You Up is there. But to their credit, they did create an entirely fake band and an entirely fake album to put in this game. So that's neat. I think that deserves some acknowledgement. Deathloop, I haven't really noticed the music that much in Deathloop, so I can't really say much about it. And then I have no thoughts in Cyberpunk or Artful Escape, but I know Artful Escape is a music game, so if anything won, it'd probably be it. But it's a pretty niche game, so who knows? Probably, it might go to like Nier or something. Best Audio Design, Deathloop, Forza, Ratchet, RE8, Returnal. I picked Deathloop by default, you know. No, I picked RE Village. But I don't know who this could go to, not at all. Best Performance, Erica Mori as Alex Chin, Life is Strange. Giancarlo Esposito as Anton Castillo, Far Cry 6, Castillo. Jason Kelly as Colt Vaughn, Deathloop. Maggie Robertson as Lady Dimitrescu, RE8. And then Ozioma Akaga, I'm butchering that probably, as Juliana Blake, Deathloop. So two Deathloop reps, which I hate that. I hate that there's two reps. Pick one from the game. But you know, I'm a man of the people. I'm a man of culture. I had to vote for Lady D. She sells it. Great. Sit on my fucking face. Kill me. Thank you. Games for Impact. Before Your Eyes. Boyfriend Dungeon. Chicory. Life is Strange. No Longer Home. Now, no, people are mad that Chicory isn't up there for Game of the Year or Best Indie Game. But I feel like it's also pretty niche. So maybe it's just like not something people considered. Right, but Games for Impact, I feel like should go to Chicory or Boyfriend Dungeon. I voted for Boyfriend Dungeon. Stream that game. Absolutely fantastic little game. Can't wait for the expansion. So yeah. That's Game for Impact. Best Ongoing Game, Apex Legends, Final Fantasy XIV, Fortnite, Genshin, and Warzone. Now, I would never vote for Call of Duty. I would never in my fucking life vote for Genshin, right? So it's between, and I mean, Apex is fine, I just don't play it. So it's between FF14 and Fortnite. Now, FF14 hasn't gotten its new expansion yet. It's coming out soon. and I stopped playing it before I even got to like Heaven's Word. So I have to vote Fortnite, right? I spent a lot of money in Fortnite. I think that game has crazy like collabs and stuff. I may not be the best at it, at the game, but they just put Naruto in. They put Naruto in the game, and you better believe I fucking bought every piece of fucking gear for Naruto. And Sasuke and Sakura and Kakashi. Except for like one of the swords, I didn't buy it. So I voted Fortnite for best ongoing game. It'll probably stay as the best ongoing game for a while. Best indie game, 12 minutes, Death's Door Inscription, Kena, and Loop Hero. So I voted for Kena because it's the game. I mean, yeah, because it's the game I played. But I think any of the three in the middle, Death's Door, Inscription, or Kena, could take this. Death's Door is pretty heavily regarded, and it's releasing real soon on other platforms. Or maybe it's already released? I don't know. I remember they already said it. Inscription is getting a lot of traction as like a card game kind of horror thing. It's not really horror. It's more just like creepy. And then Kena. Kena's great. So I think any of those three could take it. Excuse me. Next up, best mobile game. I think I skipped this one because I don't play any of his games, but I'll name them for you. Fantasian, Genshin, League of Legends Wild Rift, Marvel Future Revolution, and Pokemon Unite. Who knows? Who fucking cares? Best community support, Apex, Destiny 2, FF14, Fortnite, No Man's Sky. This is for recognizing a game for outstanding community support, transparency, and responsiveness, inclusive of social media activity and game updates patches. I picked Fortnite. Could also go to Apex, I guess. I don't know shit about what's happening in No Man's Sky right now. Innovation and accessibility. These are games with a bunch of accessibility options that just help for a better play experience. It's not just like... Now the games, you know, it's not just about difficulty, it's about ease of play for everyone. So Far Cry 6, Forza Horizon 5, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, Ratchet and Clank, and The Veil Shadow of the Crown, which is a game I've never heard of. But I voted Guardians because as I was streaming that game, they do have a bunch of custom difficulty options, and you better believe that I'm like, yeah, I'll make my guns do a bit more damage, I'll make my cooldowns a little less, you know, not too much. It's just good. It's just good for keeping you. Because if it's going to be a slog, right? Then why not just make it easier? I think any of those games could take it. Best VR AR. Also a game category I didn't vote for. But it's Hitman 3, I Expect You to Die 2, Lone Echo 2, RE4, and Sniper Elite VR. If I had to guess, RE4's been making the rounds. It's also RE4, one of the best video games ever made, according to a lot of people that aren't me. And I'd say that the VR port has gotten really good reception. I'd say people might vote for that over these other ones. Especially Hitman 3. I think that was exclusive to PlayStation VR for a while, and now it's just gotten other places. Best action game. Back 4 Blood, Chivalry 2, Deathloop, Far Cry 6, and Returnal. I voted for Back 4 Blood, because I think this is the only category it's in. Because it's a fun-ass game. If I had to say if any of these would win, might be Far Cry 6, might be Returnal. Those games are really popular. Could be Deathloop. Don't think it'd ever be Chivalry. Best Action Adventure Game. Guardians, Dread, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet, and RE Village. All these games are Game of the Year contenders in this list. Dread might get it. Psychonauts 2 probably won't. Ratchet probably won't. There's not a lot of buzz about those two games, actually. But RE8, Metroid, Guardians could possibly all get Best Action Adventure, if anything, right? Best RPG. Cyberpunk 2077 is not going to win this category. Monster Hunter Rise, Scarlet Nexus, SMT5, and Tales of Arise. My vote is obviously for Tales of Arise. I just streamed all that game. So why would it not be, right? Fantastic video game, except for the bosses. SMT5, I think, is way too new to even be on the list. No, but of course, you know, they get the games early and shit, so it could still in consideration. I don't think I've ever heard anyone talk about Scarlet Nexus, even though I like that game and haven't beaten it. I'm not voting. Oh, I didn't mean to vote. And then, you know, Monster Hunter's Monster Hunter and Cyber Pokemon was a fucking mess. And I don't think they've even patched that game a lot since it dropped. I don't know when the last patch for that game even was. Best fighting game. But this is always the shittiest category every year, right? So we got Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, the Hinokami Chronicles. We got Guilty Gear Strive. We got Melty Blood Type Lumina. We got Nick All-Star Brawl. We got Virtua Fighter 5 Ultimate Showdown. Those are our category, our contestants for best fighting game, right? I haven't played, I've only game on this list I played is Nickelodeon, right? And I hate that fucking video game. It doesn't feel good. It feels like they tried to make Melee, and then that's it. But I voted for Guilty Gear, because I like Guilty Gear, and I think Guilty Gear is, other than Melty Blood and Virtua Fighter, like the strongest contender for that, for this category this year. Demon Slayer is an anime arena fighter. I mean, it's made by CC2, which are the gods of anime arena fighters, but it's still just an anime arena fighter. No one's gonna be fucking talking about that game. Best family game. It Takes Two, Mario Party Superstars, New Pokemon Snap, Super Mario 3D World plus Bowser Fury, and WarioWare Get It Together. So It Takes Two is a weird one here because that game's about divorce. I don't know if that's a family game. I didn't play New Pokemon Snap, and I definitely wouldn't play WarioWare. So my guesses are that probably gonna go to Mario Party Superstars. That game's awesome. It's great. The online's decent enough. Like, you barely get lag for the most part. Or Super Mario 3D World Bowser Fury. And I'd say that probably because Bowser Fury is the only place, is the only part of that game I really played. But I think it's a really good part. It had to go to one of the Mario games for me. Best Sim and Strategy Game. Age of Empires 4, Evil Geniuses 2, Humankind, Inscription, and Microsoft Flight Simulator. I picked Inscription. It's a card game. Never played it. Looks cool, though. But I'm not a Sim Strategy guy. Best Sports Racing. Didn't vote for any of this, but, you know, F1 2021, FIFA 22, Forza Horizon 5, Hot Wheels Unleashed, and Riders Republic. Best Multiplayer, Back 4 Blood, Knockout City, It Takes Two, Monster Hunter, New World, and Valheim. I picked Back 4 Blood because it is a very good multiplayer game. And then Content Creator of the Year. Dream, who fucking knows? Gallas, Ibai, Grefg. I don't know any of them except for Dream, and that's probably the weirdest choice because of all that cheating stuff that he probably did. So I didn't vote on that category either. And then Best Debut Indie Game: Artful Escape, Forgotten City, Kena, Sable, and Valheim. I don't know. No one's talking about Valheim anymore. It was really big when it came out, but of course, I don't know if they've updated it more than it used to be. Haven't seen anyone talk about Sable at all. But Kena, still great. I've said it before. Fucking great game. Forgotten City is cool. Artful Escape, I've heard some buzz about. So probably those three games are in the serious contenders for this game of the year. Not game of the year, but debut indie. And then I think this is the last category before esports, which is most anticipated game. So we got Elden Ring, we got God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, the sequel to Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild, and Starfield. Starfield's the weird choice here because we don't fucking know shit about that game. We have not seen gameplay. I remember E3 this year. We're like, here it comes, baby. Starfield, boys. Here we go. And it's like, it's nothing. Absolutely nothing. Someone hops into a spaceship and presses a button. And it's like, coming out November next year. And it's like, great. That wasn't anything. You showed us nothing. Bethesda. It's a Bethesda in-house game. So, who knows, right? I picked sequel Breath of the Wild. Obviously, I love Breath of the Wild. I could see that winning, most anticipated. But I could see most of these games outside of Starfield winning most anticipated. Elden Ring, lots of hype. Had the playtest at the betas, I don't know what they're called. Recently, God of War, a lot of hype. People really like that. Horizon, all good. Highly anticipated games. And then, yeah, esports. Oh, who fucking gives a shit? We're not talking about that. But that's it for the Game Awards nominees. And that's it for the news. Let's hop on over to the top 100 must plays. This is where we are in right now. We make a list, right? Of 100 games that we all highly recommend, right? And the list goes like this. We got, and they're not in order, so don't think one's better than the other. We got Starfield. Starfield. Fuck me, dude. We got Stardew Valley. We have The Binding of Isaac. We have Jet Set Radio Future. We have Phoenix Wright. We have Bloodborne. And we have Danganronpa, the first one. Danganronpa Trigger Happy Havoc, right? So those are our six games on the list. This week, I'll be adding one, Dragon Ball Z Budokai 3, baby. That game's pog as shit, and you've probably played it. But guess what? I want you to go back. I want you to play it again. Game's real good. From the multiple story modes to the customization system with the levels to tournaments to playing in general, how it feels, all the skills and items you can unlock to collecting the Dragon Balls, flying around that world to the music. The new music's not that. The new music from the HD port isn't like fantastic. It's still all right. But that old music, that original PS2 opening, bro. That song that was probably plagiarized. Fucking fantastic, dog. That shit hits. Bring that music back, dude. But that's game of the year every year, baby. That's it. So yeah, Dragon Ball Z Budokai 3 is added to the top 100 must plays. So yeah, next time I think we do an episode, we'll talk about our personal games of the year. I've already made like a list of every game I've touched this year. It's about 30 games. And the only game I have left to buy this year is going to tie into what I'm looking forward to, which is Danganronpa Decadence, which is a release of all the Danganronpa games on the Switch. That also includes the game I'll probably buy, actually, Danganronpa S, it's an expansion of the school, I forget what it's called in Danganronpa V3, but it's like a board game kind of thing where you gain stats with your characters, and then you take those static characters and you put them into an RPG to get further, to unlock new characters and the rarities. There's a gacha system. So that's cool, and I'm excited to play that, especially an expanded version of that, because I never actually got far in it in the version that exists now. So I'm excited to play that. I'm looking for that. So that's it. That's it for episode 5 of Game Over Screen Season 2. I think I did pretty well by myself, talking for almost an hour. Let's plug my shit. So, of course, you can find this on your podcast podcast listening place of podcast listening source, podcast app of choice is what I want to say. Holy shit. But if you want to find like a general place to listen to it, you can go to anchor.fm/gameoverscreen. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, Spotify. So all that's cool. There's also my Discord for Tyler Rims, where you can put in listener questions that we talk about or answer, you know, every week or when we have them. Also, you can find me on Tyler Rims, both on Twitch, where I stream games. Right now I'm streaming Persona 4 Golden and Guardians of the Galaxy. And soon I'll do a Pokemon Soul Link with my buddy Zero. But you can also find me on Twitter at TylerTylerRims, where I retweet a bunch of anime women and sometimes I talk about how fucking stupid Pokemon fans are, or any fans that are weird about the games they play. But yeah, that's it. Hey, we did it, boys. That's the episode. See you next time.